بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. الحمد لله. This is our fourth session for the basic Arabic grammar review class. And as I mentioned in the email that I sent out, today, بإذن الله تعالى, we're going to be doing the exercise on page 5. And hopefully, and we will complete it and still have some time remaining so that we can go to page 6, which deals with the past tense triliteral verb and the different groups that it is divided into. In case we didn't get a chance to get to the introduction of verbs, then inshallah in the next class we'll deal with that. But hopefully today we'll do that. Before we start with the exercises, and in the time that we have right now, we want to start with review and take any questions that you have. Okay, so if we look back to the first session that we had, then you remember that we dealt with the parts of speech, and after that we dealt with the fact that nouns in Arabic have endings which indicate their function in the sentence, and in the last session we talked about the nominal sentence. So, I want to quickly review what we said concerning the parts of speech and also the indefinite and definite indications in nouns, and then the endings of words, the dhamma, fatha, and kasra, which indicate that the case ending of a word, yani whether it is in the nominative case, accusative case, or genitive case. And then after that we look at the nominal sentence and its two parts, the mubtada and khabar. And if you have any questions while we're doing the review, you can ask. If anybody has a question first before we review, we can look at that first. Otherwise, I'll start with the parts of speech. Parts of speech. Okay? How many parts of speech do we have in Arabic?
Three.
Two or three? Which one?
Three.
Five. One person. What are the three parts of speech in Arabic? Now.
Fa'al.
Fa'al.
Harf.
Harf.
And fa'al, harf, and
help him.
Ism.
And ism, naam. Ism, fa'al, and harf. Huh? What are they? Ismun, fa'alun, and harfun. Okay, again, these Arabic words are very important to know. Alaykum salam. To know these words and to know what they mean and to have some examples for them. Okay, so we said the first one is ismun, and the second one fi'lun, and the third one harfun. Alright? All the parts of speech in English come under one of these three categories. Okay, as far as verbs, we know that verbs come under what? فعلون. And in Arabic, the verbs are of different types, right? There's past tense verb, there's present tense verb, and there's command form verb. Alright, so we will learn yani some of the details concerning the verbs yani in the future. But for now, it's important to know that a verb in Arabic is what? It's a word that, in Arabic it's called فعل. But it, what yani does it do? How do we know a word is a verb as opposed to being a harf or a noun? Now,
it shows action
and time. Yani, it's a word that indicates some action. Yani, that the person, somebody, or something is walking, or running, or eating, or reading, or sitting, or sleeping. It's an action. It shows action, right? So a verb in Arabic, like in English, it indicates action, except that in Arabic it also has to include the time frame, that is past tense or present tense or future tense. Alright? And the third thing that the verb includes in Arabic, not only is it action, not only does it indicate a fi'lun, not only does it indicate action, and it also has the time frame, past tense, present tense, or future, but also within the verb, the Arabic verb, there's also an indication of the fa'il, the doer of the action. The doer of the action, or the fa'il. Notice the difference between this word fa'ilun and fi'lun. Fi'lun is the verb, And fa'il is the doer of the action. Okay, so in Arabic, when we talk about a fi'il, yani a word, it should indicate to us an action within a certain time frame, and also it should include within it the doer of the action. So if somebody said, jalastu, huh? If somebody said, jalastu, what action is indicated there? Huh? Sitting. It indicates the action of sitting. In which tense? We're just going to take a couple of minutes to review quickly, inshallah. Then we're going to stop for salat, and after salat we'll go into the topic for today. What we said here, this is a verb, right, a fi'l. And we said that it has to include these three things, action, time, and the doer of the action. So we said here, this particular example of a fi'l, jalastu, indicates the action of sitting. And in terms of time, which time frame is this sitting taking place? Did it already happen? Is it happening now? Is it going to happen in the future? What can we say about the time?
Past tense.
It happened. Jalastu. I sat. Means I sat. Past tense. Not I am sitting right now. I sat. This is past tense, okay? If we wanted to say sitting, then we would say, yani, ajlisu. Ana ajlisu. Means I am sitting right now. Present tense. Okay. Also, in terms of the doer of the action, where's the indication of the doer of the action, the fa'il, in this example? Huh?
Two.
This pronoun here, two, this attached pronoun, two, means it's the first person singular. Yeah, and if I want to speak about myself in the first person, I'm going to always attach to the past tense verb two. Yani, I ate, I would say akel two. I drank, I would say sharib two. Okay? Like this, okay? So this is the fi'l in Arabic. It indicates an action in a certain time frame, and it also tells us who is the doer of the action. As far as a harf, yani we said that harf includes primarily two things from English, that is prepositions and conjunctions. Primarily, includes the conjunctions and prepositions. Well, the doer of the action includes, yes, it includes, yani, who is the doer of the action? Yani, the doer of the action, I. Now, I could be masculine or feminine, right? We could be masculine or feminine. So the first person pronoun is used both for masculine and feminine. As far as the other pronouns, then they're distinguished. Masculinity and femininity is distinguished in the second person and the third person, but not in the first person. So as far as masculinity and femininity, some of the pronouns do indicate that, some of them do not. But the speaker, whether singular or plural, who's speaking, then yani, the one who's speaking will know, is it a man speaking, is it a boy speaking, is it a woman speaking, like this, okay? Alright, after this, the conjunctions and prepositions. Example of a preposition in Arabic, a preposition. Give me an example of a preposition. Fi, which means what?
In.
And min, which means?
From.
And?
Ala,
which means?
On.
And?
Ila.
And ila. These are the ones that we had in the beginning of book one. Yani, in, from, on, and to. These are prepositions. As far as conjunctions, the first conjunction that we had and the most common conjunction in Arabic language is what?
Wow.
Wow al-atf. Meaning like if a person says, akaltu wa sharibtu. I ate and I drank. Yani uridu al-bayt wa sayyara. Wa sayyara. I want the house and the car. Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And the last thing I want to look at here just quickly is ism. And ism includes a lot of things. It includes, what does it include, ism? And in Arabic, what kind of words does it include?
Nouns.
A noun, like a common noun, a proper noun, a pronoun,
adverb,
adjective, all that comes under ism in Arabic. Okay, so when we talk about ism, we have to think about all these categories of words. A common noun like al-bayt, al-masjid, al-sayyara, these are common nouns that's used for things in common. Okay, every car is called a sayyara. So it's common. A proper noun like the name of a person, like Ahmed, Mahmoud, Muhammad, These are proper nouns that are specific to a particular person, right? Then there's adjectives like a big house, yani al-bayt al-kabir, or small, or whatever like this. Tall, short, like this. Adjectives. Okay? So, all of this comes under ism. And this is what we talked about in the first session, yani the different parts of speech in Arabic. This is very important for us to know what is a ism, what is a harf, what is a fi'l, and to know what are examples for each one of them. Yes? The common noun is generally called the ism. A proper noun is, yani, you can say an ism al-alam, al-alam. Yani, alam means here that it is specific to a person. This is somebody's particular name, specific name. Okay, the second thing that we wanted to talk about that's very, very important is that words in Arabic, the nouns, they have endings. And those endings indicate what? Their function in the sentence. Okay, the i'rab of the word. And the endings that we have seen are the primary endings, although they're also secondary endings. Okay, so the ending of the word, when we talk about the ending, what are we talking about? We're saying that it ends with what?
Dhamma.
With dhamma, or fatha, or kasra. Okay, and these endings will tell us that the word, for example, if it ends with dhamma, then we will say it is
marfu'un.
If it ends with kasra, we will say it is majrurun. And if it ends with fatha, then we say it is mansubun. So pay attention to these things, because when we start talking about the grammatical analysis of a sentence, and we say this word is in this sentence, it is the mubtada. It is al-mubtada. And the mubtada is marfu'un. And the sign that it's marfu'un is dhamma. Okay, so when we start saying this, that this word is mubtada, that is khabar, that is marfu'un or mansub or majrur, you have to know what it is. We say, what is the sign that a word is marfu'un? What is the sign at the end of the word that indicates that it's marfu'un? It is the dhamma. If a word is mansub, what is the sign that's at the end of the word to indicate that it's mansub? It's fatha, and so on. So this is very important that you have to know what is, yani, what do we mean when we say marfu'un? Yani, this is the nominative case. When we say something is mansub, this is the accusative case. And when we say something is majrur, this is the genitive case. And you have to practice saying these words and thinking about their meanings, what they indicate, and how we know that a word is mansub or majrur, and so on. We also said that words, nouns in Arabic, can be definite or indefinite. Definite or indefinite. And we said that if a word is definite, there are different ways that indicate a word being definite, but one of them is that it begins with alif lam. If it has alif lam in the beginning of it, then it's definite. Generally speaking, if a word is indefinite, then instead of alif lam, it will have what? Tanween. Two dhamma or two kasra or two fatha. So a noun in Arabic, it can be definite, can be indefinite. And this is what we really, these are fundamentals, foundations. We call this basic Arabic grammar review, because these are things that we already studied, but we want to review them. And they are basic to Arabic grammar. You have to know these things. You have to know that if a word has alif lam, it's definite. Even though there are some words that don't have alif lam and they're definite, because they could be definite for other reasons. But you have to know, if you see alif lam, this is a sign that the word is definite. Al-ma'rifa. And these words we had in the first few sessions, right? And they're in the notes that we gave out, the Arabic expression and the meaning of them. Okay, if a word is definite, we say that it is ma'arifa. And if it's indefinite, we say that it is nakira. Okay? And likewise, we didn't go into detail concerning this, but we mentioned it in passing, and we're going to talk about it a little bit more today in the exercise, that Arabic words are either masculine or feminine. They're either masculine or feminine. And we're going to talk about it a little bit today, when we go into the exercises, but it's important to know that a noun, it might be in the nominative case, the accusative case, or the genitive case. It might be definite or indefinite. It might be masculine or feminine. And these are things that we had in these notes. They're all written down, Arabic expressions, meanings, and examples. And it's important for you to constantly review until these things stick in your head and it's easy for you to retain them. The last thing that we want to mention is the nominal sentence, and we had that last week. Hopefully that's fresh in your mind. I sent an email with a link for the audio for the class last week that you could listen to. So it's good that you go over the lesson again, read it from the notes, and listen to the audio, so that in case something that is not written here that we mentioned, or something that was clarified in the class that's not written here, then when you listen to the audio for the class, inshallah, hopefully you'll pick up those things and make some notes for yourself so that you don't forget them. In terms of the nominal sentence, we're going to stop with this. We said that the nominal sentence is composed of two essential parts. What are they? Al-Mubtada. Al-Mubtada. And Al-Khabar. And Al-Khabar. Al-Mubtada and Al-Khabar. The Mubtada, we said, in English is called what? The subject. The Mubtada is the subject of the sentence, meaning the thing that we want to talk about. And the Khabar is the predicate, meaning what we want to say about it. These two things are essential. These are the two essential parts of a nominal sentence. Al-Jumla, Al-Ismiya. The Jumla that begins with an ism. Begins with an ism, that's a Jumla, Ismiya. Begins with a noun. If it begins with a verb, a fi'l, then we say it's a what? Jumla fi'liya. If it begins with a fi'l, we say it's a fi'liya. If it begins with a ism, we say it's ismiya. Jumla ismiya, jumla fi'liya. As far as the jumla fi'liya, we'll talk about that in the future in more detail, but it has two or three essential parts. The two basic parts are the fi'l, the action, the verb, and the fa'il, the one that's doing the action. And sometimes it may also have al-maf'ul bihi, that is the object of the action, if that verb, yani, its action, yani, affects something outside of the do of the action. As far as the jumla ismiya, which is the one that we're really concerned about, contains a subject and a predicate, something that we want to talk about and what we want to say about it, and both the subject and the predicate are both, yani, nominative, marfu'un. And that means they're going to always end with a dhamma, a single dhamma or double dhamma. Any question? Any question? Okay, this is what we covered in the first three sessions. I hope that most of it is clear in our minds. If it's not clear, please ask questions. Don't go from one class to the next with questions in your mind. Even if you asked a question last week and you thought you had it, and you come back this week and it's not still not clear, ask again. No problem. We're not in a race, right? But we're trying to just keep moving right along. But if something is not clear, then we're going to stop. And we're going to go back and we're going to look at it again and again and again. We're going to stop here, inshallah, for salat. And after the salat, we'll open up with the subject for today, which we're going to deal with the exercises that are on page 5, dealing with nouns when they're definite, indefinite, when they're marfoon, mansubun, and majroor, and when they're masculine and feminine.
بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد.
Okay, this is the second part of our fourth session for basic Arabic grammar review. And before the salah, we reviewed what we covered in the first three sessions. That is the three parts of speech in Arabic language, as well as the case endings, yani the i'rab of words in Arabic, yani meaning that they end with fatha. Fatha or kasra or dhamma, indicating that they're in the nominative case, marfu'un, or in the genitive case, majrurun, or in the accusative case, mansubun. We also said that nouns in Arabic, that they are either definite or indefinite, and that they are either masculine or feminine. And we also talked, yani, very, very briefly at the end, just before the salah, we talked about the nominal sentence, yani al-jumla, Al-Ismiya. Naam. And we said that the Jumla Ismiya is composed of two essential components, that is the Mubtada and the Khabar, the subject and the predicate. And these are things that are fundamentals, basics, foundations in the Arabic language. It is incumbent that you know them and that you know them well. If you have a question, ask. Don't hesitate to ask. A question about the subject, about what we have covered or what we are covering, ask, please ask. Tayyib, today, did anybody not receive an email concerning the class today? Anybody did not receive an email? Anybody that we don't have your email address? You didn't? Do we have your email address? Okay, so what I need for you to do is just write it down again for me so I can make sure that I double check. Just put it next to, or just put it right in here. Just put your name and email address. And then that way I'll double check and make sure that I have it or that something happened. Okay, so what I mentioned in the email is that today we will be covering the exercises on page 5. And that if we have enough time, inshallah, we're going to also look at the introduction to the past tense verb, triliteral verb. Okay, I said that that's what we're going to be doing today, and that it's important that, as I said previously, that we always review what we have taken in the past and what we are intending to do in the coming session. So I hope that everybody who received the email, that they did preview the lesson or the exercise that we're going to do today. Rather, I said that you should try to write out the exercise, as much of it as you can, before we come to class. And then when we come to class, inshallah, we'll go through them together. So I hope that somebody, Yani, has taken heed to this and they attempted to do this exercise, relatively simple exercise, but in case, and it wasn't clear to you, inshallah, we're going to do it together today. Okay, what this exercise requires of us is to acknowledge, to recognize, to understand, to know what are the case endings for Arabic nouns. What are the case endings? Yani, that a noun in Arabic is either marfu'un in the nominative case, or majrurun in the genitive case, or mansubun in the accusative case. And this is the first thing that we have to recognize, the case endings. Okay, you have to be able to know what's the difference between a word when it is marfu'un or mansubun or majrurun. What is the difference? The ending, the vowel that the word ends with. Does it end with fatha, or does it end with kasra, or does it end with dhamma? That's what we are going to be looking at, right? If a noun is definite and it has alif lam, it's not also going to have tanween, right? So the vowel on the end, is it going to be a single dhamma or double dhamma, will be determined by what? If it has alif lam or not. If it has alif lam, it's going to be dhamma, but one single dhamma. If it doesn't have alif lam, then it's going to have tanween, so it's going to have a double dhamma. But we're not so concerned about has single or double dhamma in terms of case ending. We're just concerned about is it dhamma or kasra or fatha. That's what we're concerned about, okay? This is very important. Second thing is, we said that nouns in Arabic are definite or indefinite. The most common indication that a noun is definite is alif lam, that it has alif lam. But of course there are plenty of nouns that don't have alif lam. Pronouns, all pronouns are definite. They don't have alif lam. All proper nouns are definite, even though they don't have alif lam. Or some of them may and some of them may not. Okay, but right now we're just looking at the definite article, alif lam. If it has alif lam, it's definite. If it has tanween, generally speaking, it's indefinite. Although, as we said, and I'll continue to repeat until like it seeps in and sticks and then we retain it, that there are some nouns, like proper nouns, the names of people, like Muhammadun or Mahmudun, right? Or Zaydun. These are proper nouns. They have tanween. But all proper nouns are definite. So even though they have tanween, still definite. Alright? But generally speaking, and if it has alif lam, that indicates that it's definite, and tanween indicates that it's indefinite. So we're going to be looking at that. And the last thing that we're going to look at, we're going to look at nouns that are masculine and feminine. We're going to look at the nouns when they are masculine and when they are feminine. And generally speaking, if a noun has ta marbuta on the end of it, if a noun has ta marbuta on the end of it, generally speaking, this is an indication that it's feminine, that it's mu'annath. However, there are exceptions, right? And there are proper nouns like Muawiyah and Usama and so on, that they are names of men, but they end with ta marbuta. So technically, they are feminine nouns, but they are names of men. Okay, so technically they are feminine nouns by the indication of ta marbuta. And so we're going to be looking at the nouns, yani the masculine and the feminine, and distinguishing between them. We're going to just do an exercise that requires us to recognize the changing of a noun from marfu'un to mansubun to majrurun. Wa alaykum salam. And the changing of a noun from definite to indefinite, or indefinite to definite. And the changing of a noun from masculine to feminine. We're going to look at, this is what we're going to be looking at today. Okay, so we're on page 5, inshallah. Naam, Faiz.
So, every word in Arabic is not masculine and feminine, only the noun and
verb. We're talking about nouns only right now. Okay, we're talking about nouns only. Of course, verbs, generally speaking, a verb will indicate the masculine form or the feminine form. But not every verb, right? Because a verb could be first person singular. And then the same verb form is used for masculine and feminine. And if a woman is speaking, she said, قَرَعَتُ. And if a man is speaking, he said, قَرَعَتُ. So it's not masculine or feminine. It depends on who's the speaker, right? But yes, in a general sense, even verbs have generally, they have indication that it's masculine or feminine, depending on the pronoun that's being used, but not in the first person, okay? But we don't want to talk about that now. That's like ahead of us. We'll come to that later. What we're going to talk about now are nouns, not verbs, nouns, are either masculine or feminine. Every noun is either masculine or feminine. This is, with no exception. Every noun in Arabic is either masculine or feminine. Even if it's a tree, a car, a road, a mountain, a sky, everything is either masculine or feminine. Okay? So that is, we can say with definiteness. As far as prepositions or haruf and verbs, that is a little more detailed discussion. Okay? We'll talk about that when we come to those. But for now, the main thing is nouns. All nouns are either masculine or feminine. So this is our exercise we're going to look at today. And inshallah, hopefully some of you already looked at it. Some of you may have already done it. So we want to do it together now. We want to make sure that these things are clear. Right? These are things that we covered already, and this exercise is to make clear to us the difference between masculine and feminine, between definite and indefinite, between the genitive case and the nominative case and the accusative case. These three things are critical, fundamental foundations in Arabic grammar. If you understand them, you have done well. If you don't understand everything that we had in the last 3 weeks, but you understand this, you have done well. Ahsanta. You have done well. Okay? Doing well doesn't mean that you became perfect. Subhanallah. Only perfection is only for Allah. But doing well means that you worked hard and you progressed. You're ahead of where you were yesterday. That means you have done well. Naam. You don't have to get 100% on the exam. Maybe you only got 99. It's good. Alhamdulillah. Or 98. Or 85 is good too. Naam. Rather, on Yawmul Qiyamah, if your good deeds outweigh your evil deeds by anything, just outweigh it that way. 51%. Khalas, you're good. You have done well. You have made it. You have made it. We ask Allah to forgive us our sins. Pardon and overlook our shortcomings, our errors, our mistakes, intentional or unintentional, knowingly or unknowingly. Allah is forgiving, merciful. Allah is kind, generous, pardoning. All of that now. But it's incumbent upon us to work on ourselves, to do better, and then to follow up an evil deed with a good deed. And even if the good deed is saying Subhanallah, Walhamdulillah, Wa la ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar, the best, most beloved words to Allah, most beloved to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If a person just keeps their tongue moist with the remembrance of Allah, this is tremendous, azeem. Because our minds are occupied in the environment with what we see and who we come in contact with and what is happening around us, it causes us to forget about the remembrance of Allah. So if a person occupies themselves, not just on the tongue, but that which is on the tongue came from the heart, that a person reflects, contemplates, thinks about, and expresses from their heart, on their tongue, the dhikr of Allah, then they are in good condition. Because this has to affect the heart of the human being. The dhikr of Allah. Naam. So, let's look at our exercise on page 5. It says at the top of the page, put the following nouns into their respective cases. Cases. What do we mean by cases? Huh? Yeah, the case ending meaning, the case means, is it nominative, accusative or genitive? How do we do that? By fixing the vowel at the end to indicate one of those cases. First, we're going to look at these nouns, right? The following nouns, putting them in their respective cases. First, as indefinite nouns that are nominative, accusative, and genitive. And then, as definite. Next exercise. We're going to look at them again, nominative, accusative, and genitive. First, as indefinite, and then as definite nouns. And after that, we're going to look at them again, change them into their feminine nouns, and do likewise. Meaning, look at them when they are nominative, accusative, and genitive. So we're going to look at the case of nominative, genitive, and accusative, these three cases. We're going to look at them in nouns when they are indefinite. Then secondly, we're going to look at them, same cases, in nouns when they are definite. And then thirdly, we're going to look at those cases again in nouns when they are feminine, indefinite and definite. All right? So it sounds like a lot, but I think we should be able to go through this in a few minutes. Inshallah. All right, just focus, right? It's important, brothers and sisters. When you're going to do something that's important, it's important that you prepare for it. And preparation requires a number of things. First and foremost, the most important thing to prepare yourself for doing anything important is to call on Allah, ask Allah's help. That's the most important thing, that you ask Allah's help. Because we can never be successful in anything without the help of Allah. وَمَا تَوْفِيقِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Prophet said this, I have no success except by help from Allah. What about us then? Who are we then? Okay? And secondly, you have to work hard. You have to make a sincere azm, determination that you're going to work at this. You're going to give yourself over to it. You're going to do some work. You have to work hard. Ask Allah's help and work hard, and then do not let this from shaitan, this thought from shaitan that I can't do it. I'm not able, I'm not capable. And I'll repeat it again and again and again. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِحْرِسْ عَلَى مَا يَنْفَعُكَ. Be eager and diligent in seeking that which benefits you. وَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. And seek help from Allah. وَلَا تَعْجِزْ. And don't be helpless. Don't feel incapable. Yani, if you work hard in seeking that which is good, and you ask Allah's help, how can you let that feeling overcome you that you can't do it? With the help of Allah, everything is possible. But you have to do some work, right? الْأَخْرِ بِالْأَسْبَابِ. That means to take hold of the means to achieve good or to prevent evil. You have to do something. You have to do something. Not just get up in the morning and say, oh Allah, bless me with beneficial knowledge and pure wholesome sustenance and deeds that are acceptable to you. And then after you make this dua, you go to sleep and sleep until dhuhr. You expect something to happen? No. When you say that, then you have to do something. You want Allah to bless you, benefit, you got to open up a book or something. Start trying to learn, right? Sit in a class or something. And you want wholesome sustenance, you have to go out and do some work. You want deeds that are acceptable, you have to actually do some worship in accordance with the sunnah, sincerely for the sake of Allah alone. So we have to do something, inshallah. Page 5, put the following nouns in their respective cases. First as indefinite, then as definite, and then as feminine nouns. Likewise, do as shown in the examples. Okay, so we're going to be looking from the right side of the page. Under the column that says masculine, we're going to go all the way down the page. And then, secondly or thirdly, we'll go over to the other column that says feminine, three columns under feminine, and we'll go all the way down the page. Okay, so we're going to start on the right side, where it says masculine. There are three columns. From the right to the left, it says nominative, marfu'un, accusative, mansubun, and genitive, majrurun. We're going to look at those columns from right to left. From nominative to accusative to genitive. We're going to go down this list of words, and we're going to change them accordingly to the case ending. And then, secondly, we're going to go down further, where we see that the nouns have alif lam. And we're going to do the same thing with definite nouns with alif lam. We're going to go from nominative to accusative to genitive. And when we finish that, then we're going to go over to the feminine side. And we're going to look at the nominative, accusative, genitive, feminine without alif lam, indefinite, and then with alif lam, definite. So we're going to have like four exercises here, okay? Okay, so hopefully everybody's with us and everybody's focused. The first word they gave us as an example is what? Muslimun. Muslimun as an example. That's the example they gave us. Muslimun. They said that this word is in which case? Nominative. Marfu'un. Marfu'un. How do we know that it's marfu'un though? If they didn't tell us. Because it ends with dhamma. Okay? In this case there are two dhammas because it doesn't have alif lam. So it has tanween, right? So this word Muslimun is in the nominative case. We say this is marfu'un. I'm going to try to use the Arabic expressions a little more and the English less. Okay, so we can start getting used to it, okay? Yeah. Just be patient, inshallah. What is the meaning of Muslimun? A Muslim. What is a Muslim? A male? Okay. Who has submitted to Allah, who has surrendered to Allah. Muslim is from the verb aslama, yuslimu. The ism fa'il, Muslim. One who aslama, who submitted, surrendered to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, Muslimun. This is a very, very wonderful word, Muslimun. That is when it is the subject of the sentence, or the khabar, or the fa'il, it will be marfu'un. So we say Muslimun. But what if it's the object of the verb? Then it became in the accusative case, and it became Muslimen. If it was the ism inna, we say inna Muslimen. Yani inna al-Muslimin wal-Muslimat wal-Mu'minin wal-Mu'minat. Huh? That means that it's in the accusative case. All right. So here in the accusative case, it changed from two dhammas to two fathas. And notice that whenever a word in Arabic has two fatha, it's always followed by an extra alif. Except in two cases that we talked about previously, I won't talk about them here now, but one of them is if it ends with ta marbuta. Ta marbuta does never has any letter to following it. And the other one is if the word ends with an alif followed by hamzatul qat, then it's not going to be followed by another alif. Otherwise, except those two situations, all words in Arabic that end with two fatha, they have to have an extra alif after them. Telling us that if we stop on that word, we're going to pronounce it as though that alif is elongation of the fatha vowel. And he will pronounce it, instead of Muslimen, if we stop on it, we're going to say what? Muslima. Muslima. As though it's fatha alif. Muslima. But if we keep reading, then we're going to pronounce the tanween Muslimen. Okay, this is something that we had in our alphabet class. Hopefully you remember it, inshallah. Alright? Okay, what if it was following a preposition and it became majrur? Then it would become what?
Muslimin.
Okay, so it changed from Muslimun marfu'un to Muslimen mansubun to Muslimin majrurun. Alright? Yani certain words have to be marfu'un if they are the subject or the predicate in a sentence or the one who's doing the action of the verb. Certain words have to be majrurun in a sentence if they're following a preposition or if they are following a dharf, an adverb, or if they are the second part of an idalfa construction that we took in lesson 4, Medina book 1. Then they have to be majrurun. And some certain words have to be mansub if they're the object of the verb, for example, or ism inna, or kabaru kana, and so on. That is a little bit ahead of us, but in any case, like that. There are reasons why a word is marfu'un or mansub or majrur. Okay, it's not just haphazard. And let's just make it like this. Put two fathas, two kasras, dhamma, na. It's not at your choice. It's according to its function in the sentence. It has to be either marfu'un or majrur or mansub according to its function. Now,
let me just say mansub, and then he said musliman.
Now,
so there two dhammatain, kasratain, they will come over the Alif, the first word.
Yeah, in some books they write. In some books they write it over the alif. Wallahu a'lam. What is more correct is written over the letter.
No, but if you put this on the alif, for example, Musliman.
On top of the alif.
Yes. So what will be about the name?
Yeah, I'm saying that there are some books where they say that it should be written on the alif. There are some books like that. Okay, but as far as I understand, what I believe is more correct is that it should be written above the letter. A vowel should be written above or below a letter.
Okay.
Aleph itself doesn't take any vowel.
Yes.
Aleph is not a consonant. It can't take a vowel. But in some books you will see it written like this. Naam, that's true. And they say write it above the aleph. But Allahu A'lam, yani, I don't know the technical dispute amongst the scholars of Arabic language, but what I know is that it should be written above the letter. This is more correct than Allahu A'lam. But if you see it the other way, sometimes they write it like that and they say it should be written above Aleph. But yani, what is the basis for the argument? I don't know. That is beyond my knowledge.
They are in Aleph, for example, the second word. So what about
Mim? It's no different. They are saying it's the same. No matter you put the two fatha above the Mim or the Aleph, they're saying it's the same. It's the same, no different. They're just saying place it here, place it there. You read it the same, meaning is the same, grammatically it's the same, no difference. It's just a matter of, this is the way they want to write it. Why, I don't understand, but naam. If you see it like that, don't get yani off track. Just keep going like regular. Act like it's above the mean. Okay, that's the example, muslimun, muslimen, muslimin. Okay, let's take the next word. Somebody give me the next word and take it through the cases. Naam. Sharif, 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 Sharif. Let's do it one at a time. Sadiqun. Yes, sadiqun means what? Sadiq. Truthful, truthful. Sadiq, one who is truthful. Yani, Siddiq is a friend. Sadiq is one who is truthful. As-Sadiq al-Masduq. The Prophet ﷺ is referred to in the hadith as As-Sadiq al-Masduq. The one who is truthful and the one who is believed. Masduq. Naam. Sadiqan with qaf. Qan. Qan. Sadiqan. Naam. If it's mansub, sadiqan. When it's majrur, when it's majrur?
Oh,
sadiqin. Sadiqin. Okay, sadiqun. Nominative, sadiqan. Accusative, sadiqin. Genitive. Okay, the next word. Dukreem. Alimun. What is the meaning of alimun? Person who has knowledge, a scholar, a learned person. Alimun. Taib. When it's accusative, alimen. When it's genitive, alimin. In each case, alimun, alimen, alimin has the same meaning, but its function in the sentence may differ. Could be the object of a preposition, the object of a verb, or the subject of a sentence. Okay, the next word, Abdurrahman.
Mu'minun.
What does it mean?
Believer.
Person who has iman, a believer. Naam. When it's accusative case?
Mu'minan.
Don't forget, when you write it, you have to write it with an aleph. Mu'minan. With an aleph, which means if you stop on it, you're going to pronounce it like it's a long vowel fatha. Mu'mi. What? Mu'mina. Mu'mina. Naam. Okay, when it's in the genitive case?
Mu'minin.
Naam. Mu'minin. 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 Type the next word. You want to read? Anybody want to read next? Okay, mudarrisun. What does it mean?
A teacher.
A teacher. Type. When it's in the accusative case, mansub.
Mudarrisan.
When it's majrur, mudarrisin. Next word. Hold on. You with us?
Kafirun.
What does it mean?
Disbeliever.
Kafirun. When it is mansub, we say?
Kafirun.
When it's majrur? Kafirin. Next word. Ashkurullah. Before that. Oh, I'm sorry. That's Abdul Halim is reading. Okay, hold on, Abdul Halim. Let him read first and then I'll come back to Abdul Halim. Kadhibun. What is the meaning? A liar. Yani a person who tells lies. Kadhibun. When it is mansub, we say? Kadhiban. When it's majrur? Kadhibin. Okay, Abdul Halim. Mushrikun. Yani when it's mansub? Mushrikan. When it is majrur? Mushrikin. Next word. You want to read? Okay. Talibun. When it is mansub? Taliban. When it's majrur? Talibin. Taib on this side. Naam. Abdul Shakur. Tabibun. What is the meaning of tabib? Doctor. What is the student in Arabic? Talibin. The word before that is talibin. This one, tabibun. Tabibun. When it is mansub, tabiban. When it is majrur, tabibin. Tabibin. Okay, let's go down to the next column now. We're going to change the words now to be from indefinite to definite. The same words, but now definite. The same exact words. Okay, the first word, the example they gave us, al-muslimu, when it's marfu'un. Al-muslima, with a single vowel, no tanween, right? Because al-aflam, al-muslima, when it's mansub, and al-muslimi, when it is majroor. Okay, the next word should be what? Naam, I'm sorry. Akbar, naam, me and Akbar. As-sadiqu, when it is mansub.
As-sadiqa.
As-sadiqi, jayyid. Okay, the next word, Mustafa, you want to read? Uh-huh. Naam, alim, naam, with alif lam. Al, but with alif lam. Al-alim. Uh-huh. Yeah, we're just going to put alif lam on the same words that we have in the first column. Okay, the first one is al-alimu, the second one al-alima, and the third one al-alimi, al-alimu, al-alima, al-alimi. Okay, the third word, you want to read? You let somebody else? Naam, jazakallah khair. Al-mu'minu, al-mu'mina, al-mu'mini. Naam, the next word, Faiz? Al-mudarrisu, al-mudarrisa, al-mudarrisi. The next word. Naam, Abdulaziz. Naam, al-kafiru, al-kafira, al-kafiri. Saeed? Without alif, without tanween. You have alif lam in the beginning, no tanween. Al-kathibu, naam. Without tanween. Al-kathiba. Just like that. Jayid. Ahsan. Al-kathibi. Al-kathibu. Al-kathiba. Al-kathibi. Naam. Who's back here? Ibrahim? Ibrahim is hiding behind me, huh? Trying to skip the exercise. We got you, man.
I was waving.
Oh, you was waving. Okay, all right. Just messing with you a little bit, that's all. Naam. Uh-huh.
Al-mushriki.
Uh-huh. Tayyib, okay. This word, mushrik, al-mushriku, al-mushrika, al-mushriki. And these, each of these pronunciations with the vowel change does not change the meaning, but it changes the case ending, which is in accordance with its function in the sentence. When the function changes, the vowel may change. Naam.
Get to this, practicing how these case endings change. Can you give a lot of examples so that it can become ingrained in us?
No problem. We want more examples, no problem, inshallah. Taib, the last word we read was mushrik, right? Okay, so we're back to Sharif. Yeah, the next word is talib. With alif lam, when it is marfu'.
Talibun?
Talib.
Oh, talib, right here.
Yeah. Uh-huh. At-talibu. Uh-huh. At-taliba. And at-talibi. Okay? At-talib means what? The student. But at-talibu means the at-talibu means what?
The student. At-talibi means what? The student. At-taliba means? Same meaning. Just that, in one case it might be the object of a preposition, in another case the object of a verb, in another case the subject of the sentence or the khabar or so on like this, okay? The last word, I'm sorry, over here. No problem. Naam, at-tabibu, at-tabiba, at-tabibi. What is at-tabib? The doctor. Okay, these are examples of masculine nouns, mudhakkar. Yani when they are indefinite and when they are definite, changing from the marfu'un to mansub to majrur. Okay, now we look at feminine nouns. With the feminine noun, the rule is still the same. If it's marfu'un, it takes dhamma. If it's mansub, it takes what? Fatha. And if it has kasra, that means it's what? Majroor. Okay? The only difference would be that the vowel here is going to be written at the end of the word, and these feminine words with ta marbuta. We're going to change the words to feminine by making ta marbuta on the end of the word. But the same dhamma, walaykum salam, the same dhamma, kasra or fatha, the same dhamma, kasra or fatha is going to indicate it being marfu'un or majrur or mansub. If it has alif lam, it's only going to take a single vowel. If it does not have alif lam, then it's going to take tanween. Same thing, except here we have feminine words with tamabuta. That's it. We're going to change these same words to feminine words. Same list that we had the first time, we're going to use the same words, we're going to change them to feminine. Okay, they gave us the first one. The first one, the original word we had was Muslim, right? So now it's going to become Muslimatun. Muslim, Muslima. Muslima. Okay, we just add Tarmabuta, and remember that Tarmabuta is always preceded by Fatha. Tarmabuta is always preceded by Fatha. That means that this word Muslim, right? If we want to change it to feminine, then we have to do what? The first thing we're going to do is the tanween on the end of it. We have to get rid of it, right? Because tanween is only on the last letter of a word. So we got to get rid of the tanween, and we add ta marbuta, and the vowel before it now must be fatha. And then we could get bring the tanween back again, right? We could bring it back again, put it on the ta marbuta. The vowel before ta marbuta is always fatha. Always fatha. Always, with no exceptions. In the Quran? Huh? In the Quran? Naam. In the Hadith, in the books of Fiqh, Tafsir, everywhere. Wherever you go. All over the Arab world. In Egypt, in Pakistan. Well, Pakistan is not Arab world, right? But people in Pakistan speak Arabic. Plenty of people. Naam, huh?
For feminine noun.
Uh-huh. For any noun that ends with tarmabuta, the letter, the vowel on the letter before the tarmabuta is always fatha. It's always fatha. Yani tarmabuta is always preceded by fatha. Alright, let's look at feminine words. Okay, the first one they gave us, we started with Muslim, now we change it to Muslimatun. When it's marfu'un, we say Muslimatun with dhammatain. When it is mansub, we say muslimatan with fathatain. And when it is majroor, we say muslimatin with kasratain. Notice here, unlike in the example of the masculines, muslimun, muslimen, muslimin, muslimen was written with an alif after the two fatha. But if we have two fatha on a word that ends with ta marbuta, the two fatha will not be followed by alif. Will not be followed by alif. Because this is one of the two cases in which words that end with two fatha does not require an alif. Okay, so there's no alif written after the word that ends with tarmabuta. Tarmabuta must always be the last letter of a word. If you add a suffix to a word that ends with tarmabuta, khalas, we can't have tarmabuta anymore. Because tarmabuta refuses to be except the last letter. So if you follow it with another letter, Tarmabuta says, I'm out of here. Now it becomes what? Ta maftuha. Now we have to use regular ta. Because Tarmabuta has to be the last letter. And it doesn't accept anything other than being last.
Like some people don't accept anything except being first. They have to win every time, and if they lose, they said, I won. Everybody knows it. The whole world sees that I won. And the whole world saw that you lost. But you just say, I won anyway. Yani, if that's not insanity, I don't know what is. Psychopath. Now. Marbuta from rabata. Rabata means to tie something together, to tie it. Yani, ta marbuta means the ta that's open, it's tied together. Sometimes they say closed, but literally, rabata means to tie something. Now. Now. Maftuha. If it's ta maftuha, it doesn't have the same rule as ta marbuta. The rule is different. It becomes just a regular word. But normally, if it depends on what kind of word it is. But if it is yani a feminine word that yani became ta marbuta, it depends on for what reason. If it became a feminine sound plural, then it will still be fatha. But for other words, it may be different. Now, but the sound plural, the feminine sound plural, will follow the same rule. Yani that the ta maftuha will be preceded by fatha, along with the elongation of the fatha with aleph. But it's still going to be fatha, but it's going to be elongated by aleph, and then ta maftuha. That is if it's a feminine sound plural. Now. Huh? Okay. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah.
I don't understand what you say when you try to write that out. You can change
it. I'm saying that this word here, this word, if a word ends with ta marbuta, okay, ta marbuta, this letter here, ta marbuta, must always be the final letter of a word.
No, I think he is confusing it. Let me just change it over. Fish in the bottom?
Here?
Yeah, no, I understand.
Just remove that so you can understand.
Garlic,
yeah, if you, yes.
Here?
Yeah, make some explanation.
I'm saying that in words in Arabic, generally speaking, except with two exceptions, words in Arabic, if they have two fatha, any word that ends with fathatan, it has to be followed by aleph. You have to bring aleph with it. You add an additional aleph, right? But not with the word that ends with ta marbuta. This is an exception. No extra aleph is going to be added. With other words, it has to be an extra aleph. Yani two fatha require an aleph to follow them. But not if the word ends with tarmabuta. No aleph is going to follow. We don't need the extra aleph. Only with normal words, other than words that end with tarmabuta. We write the aleph here because in terms of reading the word, we're going to read it as though this aleph is elongating the fatha. Yani, fatha followed by aleph means elongation, right? So instead of you saying muslima, you're going to pronounce it as though this is elongating the fatha. Muslima. Two counts. Muslima. Okay? That aleph is to remind us you have to make elongation if you stop on that word. You have to make elongation. Alright? Alright, let's continue. Okay, feminine side now. Feminine columns, nominative, accusative, genitive. The first word they gave us, muslimatun. Muslimatun. Muslimatin. The only thing we say here is that muslimatun, there's no aleph following it. Why? Because no letter can follow ta marbuta. No letter can follow ta marbuta. So we don't have any aleph there, okay? That's all you need to remember. No aleph because ta marbuta must be the last letter. It doesn't allow any letter to follow it. All right. First word should be sadiq. We're going to change it to feminine with tanween. First in the nominative case, then the accusative case, and then the genitive case. Who was the last person who did? You did the last one?
Yes.
Dhul Karim? Okay, Abdurrahman. Please follow. Please follow everybody because your turn is going to come, inshallah. We want you to know where we at. Naam. Sadiqatun. Sadiqatan. Sadiqatin. What is the meaning of sadiq? Truthful. Okay, next word. Alim. Next word. Huh? Will it pass? Type.
Alim.
Feminine.
Al-alim.
No, feminine. عالمتن
عالمتن
عالمتن نعم
عالمتن
اها
عالمتن
اوكي ذا سكند وان شود بي منسوب عالمتن اند ذا ثيرد وان مجرور عالمتن نعم عالمتن 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 مؤمن
مؤمنون
فيمينين
مؤمنتون
نعم مؤمنتون مؤمنتن مؤمنتن مدرس أشكر الله again okay مدرستون again مدرستان مدرستين عبد الحليم next one كافر كافرتون كافرتان كافرتين نعم عبد الشكور كاذب good كاذبتون كاذبتان كاذبتين مشرك نعم آدم مشركتون مشركتان مشركتين طالب مصطفى You gotta make it feminine. طالبتن. 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 أحسنت. طالبتن. There it is. مصطفى. جيد يا مصطفى. طيب. أكبر.
مرفوع طيبة منسوب. طيبتن.
أحسنت طيب طيب became a طبيب
طبيب طبيبة
give us an extra word bonus word yeah I didn't have my glasses on when you were reading I was just listening it was sounding so good and I looked at it I said wait a minute I was like okay so طبيب right طبيب became feminine طبيبة طبيبتن 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 and he gave us an extra word طيب what's the meaning of طيب good good طيب 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 نعم 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 أحسنت And that, really, this is, when you do extra like that, that helps you, really. Because the more you say it, the easier, the better your memory is going to be. Okay, you have to practice repeating these words. The more you repeat them, the easier it becomes. This is what, yani, exercises are, tamreen. Yani, tamreen means exercise, right? This is an exercise here, that you keep doing the same thing over and over until it sticks, right? It's just like push-ups, you keep doing it up over and over and over until it becomes easy, right? Same thing, this is tamreen. Tamreen on this paper and tamreen in the gym or in the, what they call those places where they work out?
Gym.
That's a gym?
Yeah.
No, they said.
Fitness center.
Yeah, fitness center. Okay, gym, whatever. Whatever it is, right? You go there and you do tamreen. That's tamreen too. Exercising, doing something repetitively. Repetitively. Alright? So this is our exercise here for this. The more you do it, the better you become at it. That's a fact. The more you do it, the easier it becomes. The rate of ease may differ from one person to another, but for you, the more you do it, it is going to become easier.
بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. You can forget these words each week. You come to hear the word, and then...
Yeah, if you pass 50, you can forget from one week to the next. If you pass 70, خلاص, يعني. Nah. Now, me and you, Mustafa, we still in it. Don't worry. We're all right. We're going to make it. Don't worry. Just hold on, right? Mustafa said, "Nah, don't put me in that one. I'm 70s, but I'm not gonna forget next week, inshallah. Fayyib. Okay, just me and you, Abdul Karim. Khalas. okay, which word was the last word? Tayyib, tayyib. Okay, let's go down now to definite. We're going to change the words now, the same column of words. We're going to change them from feminine indefinite to feminine definite. Only thing we're going to do is add alif lam. The ta marbuta is still there, except the vowel, instead of being a double vowel, dhamma, kasra, fatha, it's going to be single, okay? Who was the last one who read? Naam. Abu Bakr. Jayid, ahsant. Naam. We had sadiqun, it became sadiqatun. With alif lam, as-sadiqatu, as-sadiqata, as-sadiqati. Alim, faiz. Jayid, al-alimatu, al-alimata, al-alimati. Marfu'un, mansubun, majrurun. Mu'min. Ahsant. Al-mu'minatu, al-mu'minata, al-mu'minati. Mudarris. Al-mudarrisatu. Al-mudarrisatu.
Al-mudarrisatu.
Uh-huh. Ta with single vowel.
Al-mudarrisatin.
Al-mudarrisata.
Al-mudarrisatin.
T. Naam. With a single vowel. Al-mudarris became, mudarris, the word mudarris was the word here, right? If we make it feminine, it became mudarrisatun with alif lam. Al-mudarrisatu. Al-mudarrisatu. Mansub. Al-mudarrisata. Majroor. Al-mudarrisati. Okay, coming back on this side, Ibrahim. Kafir. Feminine. Feminine, definite.
Al-kafiratu. Al-kafirata. Al-kafirati.
Ahsant. Al-kafiratu, when it is marfu'un. Al-kafirata, when it is mansubun. And al-kafirati, when it is majrurun. Next word, kathibun. Al-kathibatu.
Al-kathibatun.
Ta. With a single vowel. L. Al-kathibata. Al-kathibata. Ta. Al-kathibati. This is the word that we had here, right? We had the word kathib. Kathibun. When we changed it to feminine, it became what? Kathiba. Kathibatun. And when we made it definite, it became L. Kathibatu. Huh? L. What did I write here? Allahumma musta'an. Al-kathibatu. Al-kathibata. Al-kathibati.
Alif lam in front of it.
Alif lam. Naam. Remember, when it's alif lam, no tanween. Okay, the next word is what? Mushrik. Naam, do kareem. Al-mushrikatu, huh? The word mushrik became feminine, mushrikatun. Definite, al-mushrikatu. Al-mushrikata, al-mushrikati. Huh? What's the next word? Talib, Abdurrahman. Naam, al-talibatu, al-talibata, al-talibati. طبيب. Who wants طبيب over here? You want طبيب? طبيب. Yeah. طبيب. Feminine is what? طبيبتن. طبيبتن. With alif lam. At طبيبتو. With a single vowel. At طبيبتو. Huh? At طبيبتو. When it is مرفون. منسوب. منسوب. Help him, ya Jameel. What should it be? If it's a tabibatu, when it's marfoon, when it's mansub, it's what? Anybody help us? A tabibata. When it's majroor? A tabibati. A tabibati. Alright, this is the exercise that we wanted to do today. So what I'm going to say now, before we close, right, we're gonna just look at the next page, the next point, dealing with the past tense verb. But before we do that, I just want to say that this exercise here is just a sample. But every word that you know, or most of the words that you know, right, you can look in chapter 1 and take words like, for example, mudarris, like we had here, and change it to feminine mudarrisa. Huh? Talib, taliba. With some words we can't change, right? Like imam, we can't say. We're not going to have a female imam, right? Not with us. Maybe in the other people. Right? The kafirs, they probably have a female imam. They have a female rais, female leader, prime minister, and all of that. We don't have that. All right. But look at those words and try to take some of those words and see the ones that you can change from masculine to feminine, and then go through the drill. One word at a time. Take whatever words that you have there. See if you can change some of them. Like for example, muhandis. Take muhandis, right? Muhandisun, we say muhandisun. If it's mansub, we say what? Muhandisen. Majroor? Muhandisin. What is a muhandis?
Engineer.
Engineer. Muhandis, an engineer, huh? So if it's a female engineer, it's possible, right? It would be what? Muhandisa. Muhandisatun. Mansub. Muhandisaten. Majroor, muhandisa tin. Naam, muhandis. Huh? Naam, you have a question? Yeah.
Why is it a broken plural or the sound plural?
Uh-huh. That's secondary signs. Yeah, I don't want to take that now because those are secondary signs that we're not covering here, right? But yani, in general, you can say that yani in Arabic, there are primary signs and secondary signs for the Arab. Primary signs and secondary signs. The primary signs, when it's marfoon, it takes dhamma. When it's majroor, it takes kasra. When it's mansub, it takes fatha. As far as the secondary signs, they are different for different kinds of words. Okay? Masculine sound plurals, feminine sound plurals, mamnu min al-sarf. There's different kinds of words that the endings, the secondary signs, are different from one type to another. That's, yani, really, that's actually taken in detail in book 3. But, yani, that's ahead of us, far ahead of us right now. So I don't want to confuse us with that at this point, right? Right now, we just want to make sure we understand the primary signs. Once we get that, we can look at secondary signs. We'll start seeing some words that have secondary signs as we go along. But for now, it's important to get the primary sign, right? Because if you don't have the foundation intact, what happens when you build on it? Only a matter of time, it's going to collapse. We have to start with the foundation. That's why this is basic. I want to just take the basic rules, and then secondary rules, advanced rules, detailed rules, inshallah, come later. Alright, okay, so these are some of the examples that they gave us. Try to find more examples and do other things with it. Okay, the next page, inshallah, we're going to take this lesson in the next class, bi'idhin Allah ta'ala. But we're going to look at it now, just introduction to it. On page 6, it says, the abwab al-fi'li al-thulathi al-mujarradi. Abwab al-fi'l al-thulathi al-mujarrad. What is abwab? Abwab is the plural of bab. And bab means what? A door, gate, or something like this. But it's also used here to mean divisions of something. Okay? So here we're saying abwab means the divisions. The divisions, alaykum salam. Divisions of what? Al-fi'lu What is the fi'l? The verb. الثلاثي. ثلاثي means three. From ثلاثة. Triliteral here means that it has three radicals. And then المجرد. المجرد means that there's no extra letters added to that verb. Yani to the root of the verb. Yani it has three letters. Sometimes we add an extra letter to a verb. Like the verb is from the first pattern of verbs, fa'ala. But if we change it by adding a letter, for example, to the middle, shadda, fa'ala. That means that an extra letter has been added. Or we say, fa'ala, fa'ala. That means an extra letter has been added. Or we say, tafa'ala, tafa'ala. Whenever you add extra letters, then this is mazid. It has extra letters added. Okay, so this is a bab, one of the abwab of the verbs. Okay, the verbs that we're going to be looking at now are the mujarrad, no extra letters. We're not looking at an extra letter in the middle or after the fa or ta or anything like that. We're looking at with before any extra letters are added. Okay, so this is the simple, yani triliteral past tense verb. Okay, and they're saying here the abwab, meaning the subdivisions of it. So they're saying there are six subdivisions. In book one, we only deal with four of them. So we really want to look at those four. The other ones, we could look at them, but we're not going to pay much attention to them. All right? We're going to look at the four that are from this level, from level one, right? And here, if we look at it, we see here that they have given us columns. Thank you. Six columns, right? Let me get my glasses so I can see. And notice that from right to left, we want to look from right to left. We see that there's the first group is called the A-U-A-U group. And the second group is called A-I group. And the third group is called A-A group. And the fourth group is called U-U group. And then I-A group. And then I-I group. Okay, what is all this A-U-A-I-I-A? What is all this about, huh? Okay, what this means here, this is very important to understand. We're only going to deal with AU, AI, AU, AI, AA, and IA. These two, we're not really going to worry about them because they come much later on, okay, that we'll see them. But these are the most common, AU group, AI group, AA group, and IA group. And they gave us an example, for example, for AU group, they gave us Nasara Yansuru. They gave us Nasara Yansuru. Yan su ru. For the AI group, they gave us daraba yadribu. Daraba. Daraba yadribu. Yadribu. And for AA group, they gave us fataha yaftahu. Fataha. Fataha yaftahu. Yaftahu. And then for IA group, they gave us samia yasma'u. Samia. سَمِعَ يَسْمَعُ. Okay, we can look at the other ones, but this is what I'm more concerned about, right? Okay, now, so what do these vowels mean here? Okay, they said, for example, AU group. AU group means that the middle radical. Yani radical means the root of the verb, okay? The verb is on the pattern. For example, the pattern that we're using, yani that they use in Arabic is فَعَلَ. فَعَلَ. This is one radical. This is the first radical, the fa of the root. This is the second radical, the ayn of the root. And this is the third radical called the lam of the root. Yani from the letter. This is the fa of it, meaning the first radical, the first root letter. The ayn means the second root letter. The lam means the third root letter, based on this pattern, right? This is the pattern that we use. So when we look at a pattern of any word in Arabic, it's going to be from this pattern, fa'ala. The fa, the ayn, and the lam. The fa means the first one. The ayn means the second one, and the lam means the third one. So what are we saying here? We're saying that in the past tense, AU group means in the past tense, the ayn, fa'ala, the ayn, the second radical has fatha. And in the present tense, the second radical has dhamma. That's why it's called AU, means fatha dhamma, fatha dhamma. In the past tense, the middle radical has fatha. And in the present tense, the middle radical has dhamma. Be careful when you look at the radicals that you don't count this letter here, which is added for the mudari verb. This is the past tense, madi, and this is the present tense, mudari. Don't get mixed up. In the mudari, we're adding a letter here. We're adding ya, or we're adding noon, or we're adding ta, or we're adding... We said ya, ta, noon, and... Aleph? No. Hamza. Hamza. When you say, yani, ashrabu, that's not Aleph, that's Hamza. Aleph is just a seat for Hamza. Alright, so the letters that we added is ya, ta, noon, and Hamza. That letter that we added doesn't count. From the root of this verb is noon, sad, and ra. Is it clear? It's noon, sad, and ra, right? Noon, sad, ra. This letter was added. That ya, or that ta, or that noon, or that Hamza is added. So we're talking about the root letters. This is the fa, the noon. This is the ayn. This is the lam. From fa'ala. Okay? This is the fa, the first letter. This is the ayn, the second letter. And this is the lam, the third letter. So we're looking at the ayn, the middle root letter. In the past tense is fatta. In the present tense is dhamma. So this is fatta dhamma group. Okay, that's what these groups, what they mean by these vowels. That's what they mean. Okay? Let's look at the second one to make sure it's clear to you. If we say fatta kesra group, what does that mean? Fatta kesra group. What does that mean? What do we mean fatta kesra group?
Vowels.
It means which vowels?
The
ayn, the middle root letter, the middle radical in the past tense. If you say fatta kesra, it means in the past tense, the middle radical has fatta. And in the present tense, the middle radical has kesra. We're only talking about the middle radical. We're only looking at the vowel of the middle radical. In the past tense and in the present tense. That's what we're talking about. So here, when we say AI group, we mean in the past tense, it has fatta. In the present tense, it has kesra. In what? The middle radical. Okay, it has fatta and it has kesra. Okay, this group is fatta group. That means in the middle radical of the past tense, it has fatta. And in the middle radical of the present tense, it also has fatta. Okay, because this letter is added. We're talking about here, this is the first radical, this is the second radical, and this is the third. We're looking for the second radical, the ayn. Okay, so in the past tense, it has fatta. And in the present tense, it also has fatta. So that means that it's fatta group. Okay, and one more example, then we come back to it before we close. This is what we're going to do next week. We just want you to have an idea what this is about. So when you go home a whole week, you have some idea what this lesson is going to be about, right? This is IA group. What do we mean IA group? What do we mean by that? That in the past tense, what? It has kesra in the middle radical. In the present tense, it has fatta in the middle radical. In the past tense, it has kesra. This is kesra. And in the present tense, it has fatta. That's what we mean by IA group. Okay? Let's look at it again.
So who
never heard this before? What is this IAAIAU? Never heard it before. Okay, most of us never heard this before. Alright? So this is actually something new that we're learning. This is not review, right? This is not review. That's why I wanted to take a couple of minutes today before we close to give you an idea of what we are talking about here. Okay? And next week we'll explain this in detail. Go ahead.
How, if you write AU, AI in Arabic, so how we can just explain this?
They'll say fatta dhamma, fatta kasra, kasra
fatta.
I'm just writing English letters, for easy for us to recognize. But of course, we're not going to say AU, we're going to say fatha dhamma. We're going to say fatha dhamma. This is fatha dhamma. Bab, fatha dhamma. Bab, kasra, fatha. Naam. In the dictionary, when you look up a verb in the dictionary, most of the common dictionaries today, they're going to give you the past tense verb. They're going to write it out for you like this, nasara, with vowels. But then in the Hans Weir dictionary, they're going to give you the present tense verb is dhamma. They're going to tell you that the present tense, they're just going to give you a dhamma. That means that dhamma after the verb means in the present tense, the middle radical is going to take dhamma. Okay, so if you look in the dictionary, you're going to see the past tense verb. They're not going to write out the present tense verb. They're just going to give you the vowel for the present tense verb. That means they're assuming that you know this system. That all you need to know is the vowel. Because these other vowels are constant. They're not going to change. Yani for this form of the verb, the triliteral past tense verb, that doesn't have any increase letter, the first letter that we add is always going to be fatta. The first letter of the root is always going to be
sukoon. And the last letter of the root is always going to be dhamma. So these vowels are constant. The only change that you don't know is the middle radical. Is it going to be fatha, kasra, or dhamma? And that's what they tell you in the dictionary. They tell you this one is going to be a dhamma. This one is going to be a kasra. This one is going to be a fatha. This one is going to be a fatha. They're going to tell you what that vowel is. The rest of the vowels are all the same. The first letter always takes fatha, the added letter. The root, the first letter of the root of the verb, the noon here, or the dad, or the fa, that one is always in the mudari, always going to take sukoon. And the last letter is always going to take dhamma. So the only one you don't know what it's going to be, and in other words, in the past, in the present tense of the verb, like you say, yanzilu. You say nazala, right? Nazala, yanzilu. Here, this fatha is constant. It's always going to be fatha in any mudari verb. This one is always going to be sukoon, and the last one is always going to be dhamma. The only one you don't know is this one here. The dictionary is going to tell you. When you look up the verb nazala, they're going to tell you. After nazala, they're going to put a kasra vowel. So they're going to tell you that in the present tense, this is going to take kasra. That's the only one you need to know. The rest of them are constant. This is always going to be fatha. This is always going to be sukoon. This is always going to be dhamma. Okay, so the dictionary is going to tell you the one thing that you won't know is what the middle radical is going to be. They're going to tell you what vowel it is. They're going to give you the past tense verb written out, and they're going to tell you what the one vowel that you're not going to know, they're going to tell you what it is. Okay? These are groups, four of them that are studied in book one. The other ones are taken later on. I don't really want to go into them right now, but they follow the same rule, meaning they're going to have dhamma in the past tense, dhamma in the present tense, kasra in the past tense, kasra in the present tense. Yani there are some words like this now.
There is another word, they say like Bab Nasara, and they put in the bracket 2, and
Dorabad, so this is only for the Nasara, Noon, R, for the whole column. No, that Noon is for that particular word right there. But as far as the rest of the verbs, no, they're not all going to have... They're not all going to have noon, no.
Yes.
What is the benefit of them putting that? Allahu A'lam. I don't see any benefit whatsoever in that letter there. If there's some benefit for it, I hope that there's some benefit for it. I don't know what it is. But anyway, what we are concerned about is not the first letter of the verb, but what we are more concerned about is the voweling that it's going to take in past tense. What's going to be the middle vowel? Okay, in the past tense, these are going to be constant. This one is the one that may change. It could change from a fatha to a dhamma to a kasra. And in the present tense, this is the one that's going to change. That's why the group that it's identified with is according to that letter that changes. As far as the letters that are constant, don't worry about them.
And the past tense, it will be ya, hamza.
In the past tense, the letter that you're going to add... Naam, it can either be a ya, or it can be a noon, or it can be a ta, or it can be hamza. Like you say, yashrabu, nashrabu, tashrabu, ashrabu. Yani the second person always use ta, except the second person feminine singular. The third person always use ya, and the first person uses plural for noon and hamza for singular. Okay, so these letters are for the mudari verb. If it's first person, it's going to take hamza or noon, singular or plural. If it's second person, it's going to take ta in the beginning. If it's third person, it's going to take ya in the beginning. And there's only one exception that deviates from that. We'll see it when we look at the mudari verb. That's the feminine third person singular. It's not going to follow the rule. Third person should take ya, it's going to take ta. But other than that, the rest of them are like this. Ta is for second person, ya is for third person. First person is noon or hamza. Okay, we're going to stop here, inshallah. And please look at these verbs, okay? And maybe, yani, whatever you had on verbs in Medina Book 1, you can go back and look at verbs that we had in Medina Book 1, like we had jalasa, dakhala, kharaja. Look at those verbs and see, yani, what you can benefit from them. Try to memorize some of these verbs, at least in these four groups. Try to memorize at least, I need two or three examples, one example at least. What is an example from Fatha Fatha group? What is an example from Kasra? Fatha, Fatha Kasra, and so on like this. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Shalom la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.